OpenPhoto for iOS, Instagram promoting life, Skype for Windows Phone 7, now out of beta, AT&T helping to block tech spammers, and the Padcaster unveiled at NAB 2012. It's Monday, April 23rd, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Leading off the show today is, oddly, a bunch of iOS photo app news. To begin is an open alternative to Instagram or Flickr. According to The Verge, this project is called OpenPhoto. It was funded by a Kickstarter project, lets you upload, share, tag, and comment on photos just like you would on Instagram or Flickr or any other service that you do this kind of stuff with. But these images, the beauty of the service is they don't live on OpenPhoto servers, they live on your servers, either through your Dropbox, your Amazon S3, or other cloud storage applications. The idea here is to give users control over where they keep their photos, leading them to move or back up them easily. It's also open source, which means you can use OpenPhoto's own web-hosted version, install the code on a server of your own, or tweak it to create your own version. OpenPhoto is free on both iPhone and the web. The Verge found it to be rather lacking in features and very much in an early adopter stage, but it's free and available now. The app is in the App Store if you want to give it a spin. In Instagram news, is the company now promoting health by banning certain photos and hashtags? According to The Verge, Instagram has updated its community guidelines to prohibit accounts, images, or hashtags dedicated to glorifying, promoting, or encouraging self-harm. Instagram says that the guideline is intended to maintain a positive and healthy community, but the rules don't apply to accounts that are created to constructively discuss or document personal experiences that show any form of self-harm where the intention is recovery or open discussion. The service is asking users to help identify and flag the unfavorable content and will disable accounts that encourage users to embrace anorexia, bulimia, or other eating disorders, or to cut or harm themselves or commit suicide. In the future, hashtags are associated with self-harm but don't actively promote it will give users warnings before related content becomes visible. Overall, I think it's a good idea. After all, promoting things like bulimia and suicide is never a good thing. In other photo app news is an update to the Kodak app. What's new in this app? Well, users will be able to, not right away, but they'll be able to order photos right on their iPhone for pickup at participating Target and CVS locations in America. Kodak claims that the time between order and pickup is usually around 60 minutes, with all prints arriving on Kodak quality photo paper. Pricing, as you'd expect, will vary by store and location. So if you still need to order photo prints, this app has you covered. Next up, I just want to mention that you should check out Pro 645 and Matbox. These are two relatively unknown photo apps for iOS that seem to be really solid. The Cult of Mac featured them recently on their site, and I wanted to spread the word here. Last up in photography app news is an update to Snapseed. The iPad app now includes Retina display graphics and can open photos directly into Instagram. Several of Snapseed's popular filters have been updated as well. The black and white filter has been updated with the new conversion algorithm and color filters for even higher quality results. The center focus filter now has added a feature to let you control brightness, the center, and the edges of the image so you can manipulate your iPhone and iPad pics in a much, much greater way. Overall, a great update worth having. Snapseed is one of the best photo editor apps out there, and I'd recommend picking it up while you can. And you will for a while, since it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Snapseed is available now for $5. Now on to some competitor news. To begin is Google Maps returning to webOS. For those that forget or never knew, Google Maps was originally on all webOS devices, the Pris, the touchpads, but in recent updates, HP replaced it with Bing Maps, as many people, including myself, do not like. Homebrew developer 72KA decided that he was tired of Bing Maps, and as a European webOS user, he was even more frustrated by HP switching. So he did what any enterprising developer would do and made his own Google Maps app that puts both the new Bing Maps and the old Google Maps apps for webOS to shame. The app is both more functional and more beautiful than the old built-in apps. Google Maps by by 72K is available now from the WebOS Nation Homebrew Gallery and can be installed via WebOS Quick Install or Preware. If you are still using WebOS, I'm sure there's a few of you out there, I'd recommend giving this one a try. Another competitor news is Skype for Windows Phone 7 becoming a non-beta app. According to Engadget, the new app adds contact searching and landline calling to its repertoire. The update comes just shy of 2 months of the beta's introduction in February and boasts a handful of minor improvements that should keep your calls connected. The app doesn't yet have support for receiving calls in the background, though. If your app isn't running, your phone isn't ringing. Join me in welcoming Windows Phone 7 to the days of iOS 3 back 2 years ago. Now on to some iPhone news. Here in the States, the iPhone is now available for the following regional carriers: Alaska Communications, Appalachian Wireless for Kentucky and Virginia, Cellcom for Wisconsin and Michigan, and Telos for Virginia, and GCI for Alaska. Congrats to these regional carriers for getting such an awesome phone. Another iPhone news is a service that AT&T provides for reporting spam text messages. According to Tidbits, the free AT&T Mark the Spot app for reporting bad cell coverage or calls also includes a button for reporting SMS spam. There's no word yet if AT&T will refund these text messaging fees from spammers or not, but anyways, a good start from AT&T. Now, onto a hodgepodge of stories to close out the show. To begin is an official announcement about the Padcaster that made its debut at NAB 2012. I mentioned and talked about the Padcaster a while ago on the show, and it's finally been unveiled. So what is the Padcaster? The Padcaster is an aluminum frame with a urethane insert which holds the iPad. The design is simple, with tripod screw holes that around all over the frame. That's not only for mounting your iPad to a tripod, but also for adding lights and other accessories to your Padcaster. The removable urethane insert grips the iPad and has diagonally opposite lens holes, so you can put the iPad in any way you like without getting it wrong. There is also not an optional adapter to put proper lenses on the front for follow focusing and the like. The Padcaster is available for pre-order, but I've not seen where that's available yet. It'll be priced at $200 when it goes on sale. The lens adapter, called the Lenscaster, will be $80. This is a fairly good deal, and I'm excited to see what video creators can do with this. I'd love to get my hands on one once I get my iPad 3. For more information about this, visit thepadcaster.com. Now on to the last story of the day. This time it's about YouTube. YouTube has added access to over 150,000 tracks and a simple sound mixer to aid users such as myself to create content using YouTube Safe Music. YouTube has done a number of things to help users create great content, such as a video stabilization tool and other editing tools. Now, with audio tracks, YouTube is really doing a fantastic job giving users tools to create awesome content through a website, which is pretty amazing. So you can upload this video from your iPhone and do all your editing and post-production work right there on YouTube.com. Bottom line, I'm really happy with YouTube and love to see them do stuff like this. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, and I really hope you do, please head it over to iTunes to leave a review of the audio version of the show where a lot of people listen to it. Also, head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. That's iWakePodcast.com/again to sign up for iWake Again. This $10 a month show is what funds the daily show you're watching or listening to. Without your support on iWake Again, this show will not exist. So if this show disappears one day, it's because not enough people signed up for iWake Again. That's what may happen eventually. So with that said, join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.